Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Superintendents Unplugged, In Depth with Davis, the podcast where we'll dive deep into the world of educational leadership. I'm your host, Addison Davis, and I'm thrilled to have you join me as we embark on the inspiring journey together. As a superintendent once myself, I understand the challenges and complexities that come with leading a school district. But what I've come to realize is that there's abundance of amazing work being done by superintendents all across our country. This podcast is a platform to shine a spotlight on their incredible accomplishments and innovative approaches. Each episode will bring you exclusive interviews and superintendents from various districts across our country, both big and small, urban and rural, as they share their personal stories, triumphs, and even their moments of vulnerability. We will explore the strategies they employ to tackle the ever-evolving landscape of education, from fostering equity and inclusivity to embracing technology and preparing students for their future. But this podcast isn't just about showcasing success. It's about fostering a community of educational leaders who can learn from one another, share their experiences, and collectively navigate the complexities of our role. We'll discuss the tough topics as well, the difficult decisions, and the innovative solutions that are transforming education for the better. So while you're an educator, a parent, a student, are simply someone who's passionate about education, this podcast is for you. Superintendents Unplugged is your behind-the-scenes pass to the world of educational leadership, where we uncover the stories that inspire, motivate, and empower every one of us. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, and entertained as we embark on this incredible journey together. I can't wait to introduce you to the remarkable superintendents who are changing the educational landscape one district at a time. Welcome to another episode of Superintendents Unplugged, In Depth with Davis. I'm your host, Addison Davis. We have a trailblazer with us today. Today we have Dr. Tiffany Anderson. Thank you so very much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Listen, doing some cool things in your school district every single day. But you've made it, your road hasn't been easy. Like you've really started some trends. You know what? Being the first African American superintendent in a couple of your communities. Talk about that feeling. What does that feel like to be able to stand up and do really special things for your community and really to give sense of hope for so many others, you know, that are behind you coming into this profession?
You know, it's this piece that you need to lift as you climb. And so, you know, I get the opportunity and the privilege to be the first, and without the first, you can't have a second or a third.
I love that.
So, you know, when I started my first superintendency, it was in Montgomery County in Virginia, Blacksburg, Virginia.
Yeah.
And that community is made up of several communities, some who have really no diversity. Blacksburg is diverse. Charlottesville is not. Christiansburg really isn't.
Yeah.
And that was my first superintendent role. So I was the first African-American, first female. Incredible opportunity. Oh, my goodness. And what I do know is that poverty, although they did not have as much poverty as I'm dealing with now, they had about 30%. It's the same in terms of building relationships.
That's right.
It's the same in terms of making sure you hear the needs of people. So that gave me an opportunity to do things a little differently. And all schools when I left were accredited. That wasn't the case.
Yeah. That's a massive movement within itself. Accreditation is never easy, right? And especially when you go from none to all, it just talks about your approach, your abilities, your skill set to manage all of it and put it together. I think the big thing is 20 years. We talk about, and this is not 20 years in education for those who are watching. These are 20 years of being a superintendent.
Yes.
Like, you know, when you look around the nation, here we have thousands of people at this conference. Not many have the rich history that you've had in three states to lead. I mean, 20 years, it had to be unique.
You know what? It has been really an amazing journey. I truly believe superintendents and really all educators are ambassadors of hope. So it's 20 years of being an ambassador of hope, of showing that we can do this. It's showing that there are great things happening in schools every day, showing that there's no one size fits all, and then showing how to work with teams. In Virginia, the team really made a lot of these things happen with, and I got the chance to just join that team, a little different approach.
Yeah.
I encourage folks. And when I left, guess what? They hired their second woman superintendent. She went out and said, you cannot have a second if you don't have a first. And so, and then of course, Missouri, and then now Kansas. In Kansas, I'm the first Black female superintendent. And that has been a tremendous responsibility because it's the home of Brown v. Board. If it were not for Kansas, the Brown v. Board case wouldn't have happened and schools would not be integrated today. And so to be in the place in the space that actually led the legislation to integrate schools, oh my goodness, talk about responsibility.
Awesome though. I mean, what a great journey and to be able to pave the road, to be able to give back. You know what? I always tell everybody, our youth, our practitioners, our mentees, they want to see themselves in roles that they aspire to be, they aspire to become. You're given every bit of that, and spending 20 years of that. Now, tell me what's going on right now in Topeka.
Oh my goodness. Well, so when you think about 20 years, schools today look so different than they did two decades ago.
You can even go back from the pandemic, pre-pandemic to now. Yeah, I mean, listen, what a crazy time we've learned.
I mean, so when I think about it, I've 30 years in education, 20 of which have been as superintendent. What I do know is that it's important for people to tell their story. It's why this podcast is so incredible. People have to tell the story of the great things that are happening, the possibilities, the things that are really changing schools and environments. And so that's been key. So in Topeka, when I joined, first Black, first female, or first African-American female in the district, we started listening tours. And, here's what a listening tour is, what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Showing up at the grocery store, the coffee shop. So I still do those. So throughout the community, got my tennis shoes on and my feet back to spot. Pull up
ready
a chair, bagging groceries at the grocery store, saying, I'm just here to listen, Mama, what's going on in the community? And that's how you learn. You can't serve needs you don't know.
That's right.
So Topeka has been an incredible place. In fact, this year we've been on CBS twice, really highlighting our innovative approach, our international teachers, how we're really supporting that. We had, 600 homeless students when I started. We now have 200. So we've cut homelessness by over 50%. It has been incredible. Just a lot of the things that we really talk about are possible with wrapping services around families truly are possible and making a difference right there in Topeka. But here's the thing. In order for these things to happen, we have to make sure the legislator that's right down the street at the Capitol, they're listening to what we need to have in schools. They're listening about what public schools can do. So we spent a lot of time building advocates across the state. My most recent book came out this year, Building Parent Capacity. So we have a legislative parent group.
All right.
So get this, a lot of the laws passed last year were because those parents came bombarding the Capitol, telling them, here's what we need for our special ed students. And many of those legislative pieces were because of those families. So, Topeka's been just an incredible place of showing what's possible.
That's awesome. And, being in that area, I mean, we talk about politics and education. Mm-hmm. It's not easy, right? I mean, like in education, we're trying to figure out funding source, what's going to exist, how do we identify priorities, how do we get local delegations actually involved to fight for additional funding? In 20 years, have you seen that change a little bit?
Oh my goodness. There's so much anti-public education rhetoric that's out there now and dialogue that sometimes you can get sucked into that. You really can't, because every place that you read, if you Google right now, high-performing schools, they're going to be hard to find. But if you Google failing schools or education issues, you'll find that very easily. So part of telling the story for superintendents is an important piece to do, to be able to tell the good things that are happening, the positive things, the strategies that work, coming to conferences like this and meeting other folks and telling their story. That is critical. I can't just express that enough. And so, because right now politicians, some of them would have you believe public schools don't work, that you can't have choice in public schools.
They work for me.
Tell me about it. I'm a product.
That's right, Di. They work for me. I'm good. My kids were good, too. They're thriving and successful.
Telling you, this really is the opportunity to literally meet needs across the community, but also bring voices from the community to the legislators, to the politicians. And so we really built that with our students, our parents. We just built that capacity to talk. You know, a lot of old schools, we've learned, and my book talks about this, that a lot of parents are at the listening level, and we really need parents that are advocates, that are allies, that are leaders. And so we really are building that so that we really have a real strong collective community saying we must support public education. I mean, it's been incredible. So, you know, it's been 20 years, but I'm ready for
it. Yeah, no, I feel it. I feel your passion. I feel your heart. And you said it well. We can't do this in isolation, right? The more advocacy that we have, the more that we get actively engaged about understanding our priorities, what our sense of hope looks like, what our goals and guardrails look like, how do we transition to that? How do we prepare students for become full option graduates every single day? You know, with the workforce, the military, post-secondary education, whatever it may be, we have to be able to stand ready to be able to help them.
Yes.
You going into community. I mean, so many times in education, we sit on the outside and say, you know what, parents, community members, delegations, come to us. But going into your community, being face-to-face, rock and rolling with your sneakers on, being present. I know that they appreciate that, right? And that's how, this is relationship business. You know what? You move at the speed of trust. How do we create those moments? And you're being that model within your community.
Yeah, you know, you cannot serve needs you don't know. What's that? Because you talked about cutting the budget in such a large district that you had in Florida. Oh my God, tell me about it. And you walk in and say, well, how do I do this? It makes you think about things differently. When I was superintendent in St. Louis in a district, Jennings School District.
Okay.
They're about to be taken over by the state, meeting about 50% of the standards. Below 50%, you get taken over.
Okay.
I started my first year, and we looked around in terms of, you know, how do we get through this? Now, they ended up ending with fully accredited for the first time in decades. And that system is still in place. So look, I've been gone 9 years. But here's the thing. Programs come and go. They come and go with the leader, and the budget systems will remain. So this is all about putting systems in place that'll last long term. And it's been incredible to be able to do that. But you have to do things different. Like, for example, we have washer and dryers in our school. You wash one load for free in exchange for 1 hour of volunteerism. 18 washer and dryers. We got parents in schools every day.
That's pretty
I've done that in multiple districts.
Wow.
I mentioned that's the listening tour. Look, I'm saying, you got to do things differently. That's a no-cost strategy. I mean, you know, just a lot of things like that in terms of looking at this thing differently, approaching leadership and education differently, but also meeting needs. Here's another piece. When we started across the nation, suicide is the third leading cause of death for students, for teens. In Kansas, it was no different.
Right.
So I thought, you know, we give eye exams and ear exams. What if we gave mental health exams? They said, well, how are we going to do that to, you know, thousands of students? And so easy. We took the ACEs survey, put 3 questions on the registration form. Parents fill it out. If they say yes to all 3, do a mental health visit before they ever start school. No suicide for 6 consecutive years. No cost strategy. So it's things like that. Doing them, sharing them, learning from others, coming to conferences like this, talking to folks like you, and showing what's possible. So it's been an incredible ride.
You just said it. What's possible? My mentor, Alberto, always says the impossible is always possible, right? And and for you know, you putting in infrastructures in place. You're right. Systems and structures will always be in place that will allow you to build upon and do cool things. And those things matter. And structurally, wraparound services, how we leverage interventions, how we spend money towards our strategic plan, those all have to be braided together in order to be successful.
Yes.
One thing we see around the country, and you know, we come to these conferences and sometimes we see new faces, you know, superintendents under fire, being fired, you know, and it's just being different. How do we, you know, that when we look at that, how's the interaction between superintendents in the last couple of years? And, you know, what's the state of a superintendency right now?
You know, ASA has been such a huge player in just really changing the state of the superintendency and connecting people. Here's an example. There's a young fellow that's here today, one of my current principals.
Okay.
Aspiring superintendent, just got his doctorate.
Thank you
for bringing him. Oh my goodness. Well, look, he was signed up for ASA's urban cohort.
Okay.
So he has been meeting with other people around the country for a year. Their culminating event is here. So he sends his photo, and you're talking maybe 50 other people who are aspiring superintendents in a field that some people won't walk into.
That's right.
Learning from ASA for the whole year with other people that look like you and communities that you serve. It's been amazing. Of course, ASA has the women's superintendent and just so many other networks, Hispanic communities, and just superintendents that are in their first year. So I would encourage people, get plugged in. Get plugged in with people around you. You know, you're not in this thing alone.
That's right.
And none of us got to where we are by ourselves.
That's right. I love it. I mean, we can very easily focus on our community, our engagement, but there's match communities that are going through the same thing legislatively, instructionally, academically. And the more that we have the power of conversation about what's working, what's not, what we can do differently, the greater we're going to become as leaders.
Yes. And then the staying power. You know, when people say, man, how have I been doing this for 20
years? I want to know. I don't know if I can do it for 20 years, Doc. I don't know.
Doug, hey, I'm ready for another 20 because I get a chance to see the systems get in place.
Sure.
And then see them continue even after I leave. And these are all places that I still stay in touch with, the boards of the ones that still have the same board there. And some of them do, both in Virginia and St. Louis. And I tell you, it's been remarkable to see what can happen with stability. So that's part of that board governance. You know, ASA has done a great job of teaching superintendents. How do you talk to a board? How do you shape a new board?
Sure.
That's a key piece because we need superintendents to come into the profession and we need them to stay.
That's right. You're right. And coming in, not as a wrecking ball, not as a disruptor, but an advocate for children and doing the right things at the right pace. You said something that caught me on real back. The relationships that you built with a board, I mean, have to be unmatched. I mean, being able to go back and still have conversation with board members in other counties after you've left, because you've left in great terms. I mean, they care about you. They love your work. And how important it is to build that relationship with boards as superintendents that start to get out there, want to be superintendents, get into this field. How important is it?
You know, building relationships is key to everything else. Here's the thing. They'll work for you if they trust you. They won't if they don't.
That's right.
That's students, that's staff, that's families. So building that trust. But, you know, sometimes what I find with some superintendents is they try to take another model of a mentor and do that model.
Sure.
But you got to be yourself. Be authentic to who you are. You know, here's a quick, small story. They have this thing called the People with Purpose Award at the Oscars. I don't really watch TV. And they called and said, hey, you know.
We don't have time to watch TV.
I'm telling you, they're like, you know.
Wait, I got the same problem.
You know, hey, this People with Purpose Award. And I told my husband, hey, I don't need someone to tell me a purpose. I'm not going. What's the Oscars? He said, well, that's where you meet Denzel Washington. I said, hey, I'm going to the Oscars, baby. I go to the Oscars. And people tell me, don't wear your tennis shoes. I know that's kind of your brand. I know it's a boots to the ground, sneakers to the ground thing that you do. But you got to wear heels to the Oscars. What do you think the first thing they asked me? I come in with heels and a ballroom dress. Wear your tennis shoes. So I went back to the hotel, put on the tennis shoes, went down that red carpet. Be who you are. Don't let your parents or your other community members, don't let mentors. Be true to who you are and know what that is and who you are. Your brand is your brand. That's right. Know your why. And come in knowing that. And then taking the time to make sure that you're building relationships, staff and parents. And if you have that and you built that trust and people know they belong, oh, man. You get a tremendous amount of freedom. You know, your mindset's your only barrier.
That's right.
Not anything else.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I can't thank you enough for what you do. I mean, I see the love, the energy, the passion that you have. You're trying to get me back in it. I don't know what's going on here. You know what? But you know what? It's inspirational for me to see someone to give their... Being a superintendent isn't easy. And every single day, multiple phones ringing all the time. Problem solving, addressing particular issues, dealing with community, dealing with boards.
Yes.
Could be good or bad. We get it.
Yes.
You know, helping, you know, give inspiration to teachers and students and everything. It's not easy, but I thank you for your commitment, your dedication in this space. One crazy question. Best place to eat in your current location?
Oh, you kicked me out from Kansas City, baby. Home of the cheese. So barbecue, Q39 barbecue. Hey, next time we see each other, I'm bringing you some Q39.
Let's do it. Are you going to ASU?
Yeah.
You should go to ASU. ASU GSV. Well, Doc, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. You've heard it, guys. 20 years of high quality education, 30 years plus in education. 20 years though as a superintendent. She wants to go 20 more. Those of you all watching, you're looking for a soup to get some things done, to be systemic, to move the needle instructionally, to adopt high quality materials, to build cultures of care. She stands ready and Doc is doing it every single day. Until next time, I look forward to seeing you on Superintendents Unplugged, In Depth with David.